Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Title of the message today, and I don't normally announce my title, but the title of the message today is The Great Deception. What does the word deceive mean? Well, let's just read what it says in the dictionary here. It says to cause to believe that which is not true. To cause to believe that which is not true. The second part of the description or the definition of the word deceive is to mislead. To mislead. I was just thinking about and of course they got in trouble for it, and most of them have stopped it, I think, but used to be years ago, especially on television and commercials for car dealers, especially used car dealers. They had something that came to be known as bait and switch. They showed you this nice, shiny car with all the goodies on it and said, you can get this car for $19.95. Back in those days, prices were a lot cheaper. You could buy one for $19.95. And people would go in and they'd ask to see that 1995 car, and they'd take them out and they'd show them a stripped down model that had nothing on it hardly. I mean, it had the wheels and you might have to pay extra for the rubber tires, you know, and stuff like that. And by the time everything got in there, it was a lot more. Well, that was an act of deception. They were deceiving you into trying to believe you could get this really nice car for this low price, when in fact that was not the case. And although we don't see that particularly in things like that anymore necessarily, but we see it going on, unfortunately, a lot in the religious realm and things that are going on outside the religious realm. There's a lot of deception going on today. Deception, of course, is the act of deceit. It's a ruse or a trick, trying to trick you into something. Jesus said in speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He is warning us. 2,000 years ago, he set down a warning. Beware that no man deceive you, because he knew that people were going to try to deceive us. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And we've talked about this on other occasions of people who have come and tried to tell you that they were Jesus come back to earth and walking among the people today. We've got some right now that are walking around here on planet Earth that are trying to tell people that they're Jesus, that they've come back, and they're doing all kinds of things that are totally against what the Word of God has to say. But they're Jesus, they can get away with it. That's their excuse. He goes on in verse 11 of chapter 24 and says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Goes on in verse 24 and says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And who's the elect? We're part of the elect. Those that are elected by God because we've accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, and we are part of His kingdom. We are part of His children. But the devil wants nothing more than to try to deceive us. He's already got the rest of them deceived. If they're not serving God, if they're not serving Jesus, they are already deceived. But he's going to do his best to try to trick you and to deceive you into believing something that is not true. He wants to pull a deception on you. He wants you to begin then to doubt the things that you've been taught. He wants you to begin to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to begin to doubt the things that the Bible has talked about. And He has been trying to do this for thousands of years to get the children of God and the people of God to doubt even the reality of God. There are probably more people in the world today that doubt God than has ever existed in the history of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." An older translation that I read from quite often, the Geneva Bible, reads this way: "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departing first, and that the man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition." Departing, falling away, a departure from the faith. What is the faith? That's our belief in God. That's our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And believe me, the devil wants nothing more than to get you to believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He wants you to doubt those things. He wants you to doubt the resurrection. He wants you to doubt that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Anything that happened, he's willing to admit that Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. Yes, man called Jesus walked the face. Yeah, maybe he was crucified. Maybe he was this. But some of these things that you're reading about in the Bible didn't happen is what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that Jesus just passed out on the cross and they took him down and they revived him and hid him away somewhere. But yet the Bible tells us 5,000 people saw him after he was resurrected, between the time he was resurrected and ascended back into the heavens. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of witnesses. But he wants you to believe that it was something different. Strangely enough, there are still people today that are wanting us to believe some of those same things, that no, it didn't happen that way. And I know probably some people are going to say, when am I ever going to quit harping on this subject about what's taking place, that Jesus is going to come back and we're living in the day where all these things are happening? Well, to answer that question, I will when one of two things happens. One is that I pass on and you come and maybe say your goodbyes and maybe shed a tear that I'm gone. I'll quit then. And the other is when the trumpet sounds, if that happens first, the trumpet sounds first, and I rise to meet him in the air. And believe me, I'm going to rise to meet him in the air one way or the other, because it says the dead in Christ will go first, then we alive and remain will follow up after that. So one way or the other, I'm going to rise to meet him in the air, and at that point, I'll quit. But until then, that's the message that God has given me to deliver. And if people don't like it, I'm sorry, but that's God's word. I want you to know that there's a great deception taking place and many are falling for it. And we've read the verses in Matthew where Jesus talked about it. He was very adamant about it. Today the world is full of false prophets. There's so many people out there that have the word prophet tacked on in front of their name today. It's just astounding to me. Hello, I'm prophet so-and-so. And you know what? To my knowledge, there is no qualifying body that determines who's a prophet and who's not, really. So if you want to say, I'm a prophet, you can say, I'm a prophet. I've had people right here in Columbia, Tennessee, come to me and tell me that they were a prophet or a prophetess. Some of them have told me that aren't even serving God anymore. So anybody can say they're a prophet, but their actions and what they have to say determines the validity of whether or not they are a prophet. And there's a lot of people out there telling you're a prophet, and they're making statements, and if you sit and watch and wait and see what happens, nothing ever happens that they prophesied. There's a man out there right now, and I don't remember his name, and I'm not quite sure where he's from, but it seems to me like he's possibly in one of the countries, islands of the Caribbean area, maybe. But he's prophesied several things over the last few years. One of his most recent prophecies were, and possibly some of you have heard about it, maybe you've seen something about it on the internet, where this giant meteor is going to hit planet Earth next month, September. It's going to impact in the Atlantic somewhere. It's going to send a 300-foot-tall tsunami. I saw this one on Facebook the other day about the 300-foot-tall tsunami. It's going to send this 300-foot-tall tsunami, and it's going to wipe out the entire East Coast. And we here in Tennessee probably better have our rowboats ready because it might get here too. You know? Checked up on this guy. He's prophesied all kinds of stuff. And you know how many of the things he's prophesied have come to pass? Zero. Zilch. If I read the Bible right, when a prophet of God prophesied something, it happened. It came to pass. Yes, some of them took a long time to come to pass. But did they say it's going to happen on this and this date and it didn't happen that way? Did they say, oh, well, I was wrong, it's going to happen next week then instead, and then I'll keep changing it? No, they made a determination and they stuck with it. And some of the things that they prophesied, a couple of them still have things yet to come to pass, but most of the prophecies of the Old Testament and of the New Testament have happened already. There's very little left that's prophesied in the Bible to take place, and most of those take place after the rapture of the church that have not yet been fulfilled. So there are things, but there are people out there prophesying, and they got people all scared and worried because this event's going to happen, and it comes and goes. But you know what? The devil wants you to get used to this stuff. Oh, that's just an... So that you don't pay attention to the true warnings from God. Ah, I heard this before. I heard something like that before. And you know what? He's going to come close to the real thing. You know, most really good lies have an element of truth. Because that's what makes you believe them. Because you know that one part is true. Well, if the one part's true, then maybe the rest is true. And that's the way we begin to think. So the devil's good at it. He's had eons of practice trying to get us to believe something that is not the truth, to deceive us. Says there will be a great falling away or departure from the faith. We are seeing that take place right now. That departure from the faith. Young people, you go to a lot of churches and there's really not a lot of young people. And I'll have to say, and this is sad to say it this way, but a lot of churches you go to that have a lot of young people, you look at what's going on there. And are they really teaching the Word of God? Or have they brought the world into the church? I've seen pictures of some church services that you really, really couldn't tell the difference between if it was a church or a rock concert. And that's sad. Now, I know, and I've heard people talk about this, that a lot of the music that's out there, we were talking about, I grew up in the age of rock and roll. And the church preached against rock and roll, but you know where rock and roll got its start from? It really got its start from gospel music. A lot of the big singers in it grew up in church, and that's where they got started singing, was in the church. But they got deceived somewhere along the line. Some of them. A lot of them. There was deception going on. Departure from the faith. We look at churches today, and a lot of churches are closing because people have left the faith. I read a statistic somewhere, and I don't remember what it was, about the amount of churches that are closing because they just can't afford to keep it up anymore because of a departure from the faith. We hear about mega churches. There are mega churches that are in problems today. There was recently a large mega church, thousands and thousands of members closed because they could no longer afford to operate. Mega churches even closing. Some of them are shrinking. Some of them are selling their buildings and buying smaller buildings because of a falling away and their shrinking attendance. In some cases, those that are managing to maintain is because they have brought the world into the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Come out from among the world. If he'd have wanted us to stay in the world, he wouldn't have started it this way. He wouldn't have said, be separate, be different. But we are to come out from the things of the world instead of bringing the world into the church. And I know in the times past that the church has been a little dogmatic on some stuff that wasn't even in the Word of God. Oh, you sinner, you. You parted your hair on the wrong side. I remember years ago there was a television evangelist by the name of Rex Humbard. And when I first started watching him on TV, he parted his hair right down the middle. And one Sunday he's on television and he's parted his hair on one side. I don't remember which side it was. He really looked a lot better, I thought. And he got people complaining. You've changed your hairstyle. How can you do that? Your hairstyle makes the difference in your dedication to God, is basically what they were saying. God doesn't care how we wear our hair. Whether we comb it on the left side, the right side, part it down the middle. He doesn't even care if you do a comb over. And for people that are bald, you've got it made. You don't have to choose. But we have said some things were wrong that were not in Scripture. It's things that we did. And I'll have to say in some cases it was efforts to control people. But we were bringing the things of the world into the church, even doing that, because we were bringing that controlling spirit into the church. Yes, there are things the Bible says is sin. And if the Bible says it's sin, then it's sin. And I don't care how you try to explain it, how you try to whitewash it, how you try to make it politically correct, it is sin. And if you participate in it, if you do it, you will have to answer to God why you've done it. Don't have to answer to me, but you do have to answer to God why you've done those things. I've asked this question before, but I'm going to ask it again. How many people here believe everything You read on the internet. Wow, nobody raised their hand this time. I know people that do. I know people, if you tell them something, they'll go research it on the internet and they'll find something and they believe that. Where if they'd have read a little bit further, they'd have found somebody else that said something totally the opposite, maybe even told them how dangerous that thing was that they were believing. I know people that they treat themselves medically by what they read on the internet. It doesn't matter that they're self-diagnosing what their problem is, and they're reading this thing here, and what they're doing may kill them. But it's on the internet. It's got to be true. I mean, they couldn't put it on there. Surely they couldn't put it on there if it weren't true. Biggest book of lies out there is on the internet. Your newspaper, everything we read in the newspaper isn't necessarily true. Everything we see on TV isn't necessarily true. Some things, the things that are supposed to be reality, are more fiction than the things that are labeled fiction. Just watch some of the reality television and see how staged it is. Oh, but people believe it. That's the way it is. It's got to be true because they said it was true. And we fall for it. Because I guess in some cases we want to believe it's true. I don't know. How many believe, you know, the old saying, you've heard all, probably all of you here heard the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. And yes, a picture can be worth a thousand words. It can be very descriptive. Picture doesn't lie. Anybody here ever watched a movie on television? Some with a lot of special effects. You talk about a picture lying.
You're right.
Watch one of the ones with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's the robot from the future or whatever, the Terminator. See how many lies are in that one. They made you believe something that was not real is what their attempt was. Believe this, it's not real, but believe it. And some people will believe what they see in a picture because the picture's been doctored to make it look like something else. I saw one the other day. It was a picture, I think, of, if I recall correctly, about five different women, all in the same pose. Except in reality, all five were the same woman, but it looked like five different women. Because of things that they had done to change the picture. So there's a great deception going out there. And the devil wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to believe something that is not true. Do you believe everything you hear? Well, today we're bombarded with deceptive information on a constant basis. Just listen to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News Channel, just to mention a few there, and you'll hear three different stories about the same thing. The question is, which one do you believe? Anymore, you kind of go with which one you believe most often, you know. There's one channel, my wife turns to it, I said, keep going, because I don't believe a word they say. And I don't. And I'm sure they tell some truth on there, but they've told so much thing that isn't truth that I don't believe anything they say. Don't trust it anyway. So we're constantly being bombarded with disinformation. Every week it seems like I see something, especially on the internet, that are attempts to discredit God, the Bible, or Jesus. I read one just a couple of weeks, well, just a few days ago, and I went back to try to print out a copy of it, and it got pulled off somehow. I don't know what happened. But I thought, this is the biggest piece of misinformation I've seen posted on there in a long time having to do with God. many of these articles, and by the way, one of the ones that publishes the most on there that's disinformation like this is Huffington Post. They publish a lot of religious articles. And if you start to read them, you find out there's a lot of disinformation in what they're publishing. And just because a guy has some type of theological degree behind his name, man or woman, doesn't mean that they're a child of God. Anybody can go to school and get a degree in religion. An atheist can have a degree in religion or in theology. There are pastors of churches. In fact, right now there's a situation going on. I think it's in Canada. They've got a pastor up there, a woman pastor, who says she's an atheist. The church is trying to kick her out, and she won't go, basically. She says, okay, I can still pastor this church. I don't have to believe in God to do this job. Because there's a lot of things going on that are deceptive. Even people are trying to deceive us with the Word of God. It's the Word of God, your Bible. Some of the newer translations are very deceptive. One very popular one out there, if you start to look at it and you start to examine it, comparing it, it's missing a lot of stuff. Verses are missing. Large sections are missing. Now they've got that new one coming out. Now I guess it's already out, called the Queen James Bible. It's what it's been nicknamed, the Queen James Bible, that took out all gender references and took out the part that says that homosexuality is an abomination unto God. That's gone. I want to tell you something about the Word of God, probably the most trusted translation out there. In the English language, let me put it this way, in the English language, the most trusted translation out there is the King James Version. And I realize King James English sometimes can be a little more difficult to read. And I do read and use, and I've done it here in the church, I read and use other translations. But I will tell you, when there's a question in my mind about the meaning, I go back and I verify it against that. I go back and I verify it against what the Hebrew word says or the Greek word says and make sure that it is getting the meaning, because I know sometimes you can do different words to transfer or to give out various meanings or the same meaning. There are different words that will describe that same meaning, and that can happen sometimes. And there are some words in English that of 50 years ago were a good word. And today you don't want to use that word, you know. So we have to take that into account. But there are people who are trying to mislead you by changing the things in the Bible to have you believe things that are a lie. We even have to be careful about that. Check out your source there. Present here in America, we're starting the primary process for choosing who we will vote on to run for the presidency. And having watched the first of the debates the other night, the question really is, who do you believe? And a lot of it, who do you believe? Who do you believe the most? Who do you trust? Because one thing that I think most of us here, especially us older folks here, have learned over the years is a person can say one thing to get elected, and when they're in office, they're doing a totally different thing, and it's going to make some people mad at me probably, but our current president said some things when he was trying to get elected that got him elected, and in some people's minds that got him elected, and he did totally the opposite after he got in office. There's proof of things he said before he was elected that he's totally the opposite right now. It's not just him, it's been others. They will say one thing and then do another. Being deceived. What's behind all of this? Well, Of course, there's a lot of people with conspiracy theories. And you hear conspiracy theories all the time. It's this group that's behind it. And you know what? Some of it may be true. Some of it may be true. But we blame it all on this group or that group or the. And some of them, yeah, there may be some involvement there. I don't know. For a fact, and I'll have to tell you that most of them who are promoting the conspiracy theories don't know it for a fact either. But there's conspiracy theories out there about what's taking place and what's going down. Of course, we're hearing a lot of stuff right now about next month, the month of September of 2015. And a lot of, I have to say, if you read a lot of the stuff out there, it's a scary thought. What they're saying could happen. Can you prepare for it? Well, there's a lot of people who like to sell you stuff to prepare for it. But can we really prepare for what they're saying going? Absolutely not. Not in the sense they're trying to get you to prepare. The only way we can prepare for these things that are going to take place, that the Bible talks about will take place, does not say when, but it says they will take place, is to have our heart right with God and put our trust in Him. Amen. And if we are a child of God, we're living for Him, and we're waiting for His appearing, then He will take care of us. Let me say that again. He will take care of us. My trust is in Him. I'm sorry to say, but my trust is not in the United States government. My trust is not in any man's government here on planet Earth. But my trust is in that government that's the kingdom of heaven, of which I am a part. Because I'm a child of God. My trust is in Him. Yeah, some terrible things are going to come upon planet Earth. Bible says they are. And you can, as they say, go to the bank with that one. When they're going to happen, we don't know for sure. We can guesstimate. But to sit and say, oh, it's going to happen on this and this day, that's not going to work. Anybody here remember a program that was on TV years ago and prior to that was on radio? It was called Dragnet. There was a character on there, Sergeant Joe Friday. And Sergeant Joe Friday began interviewing a suspect or a witness or whatever, and he would say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's all he wanted was just the facts. And sometimes that's the way we need to look at things today. We need just the facts. Not a lot of all this extraneous garbage that's being thrown around out there, but the facts. And the facts are found in the Word of God. If the Word of God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Revelations 20, verses 1 through 3 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Goes on to say in verses 4 through 6, and I saw thrones and they set upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then verses 7 and 8 go on to say, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Reading on in verses 9 and 10, the outcome, and they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the facts. That is the outcome. I want to read verse 10 one more time. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the facts. The great deceiver will someday meet his doom. And Father, today I thank you that you love us so much that you sent the best heaven had to offer in sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, that he would be born as a man, die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin. And Father, his blood that was shed washes away our sins. Father, but only if we call upon you and ask him to forgive us. Father, he's paid the price. And when we accept that payment for our sins has been made and we invite him into our heart and life, you come in and we're your child and we're part of your kingdom. But Father, we also know that the great deceiver would try his best to deceive us even after we become your child. And I pray, God, that you would give special guidance, Father, special wisdom to your children that are here on planet Earth today, Father. As the enemy tries to deceive us, Father, Father, that you would speak to your heart, their hearts, that you would guide them, you would direct. And Father, help us to have our hearts and lives in tune with you. And Father, if there's anyone listening to me today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would deal with them right now, that he would draw them, Father, that they would give their heart to you, and they would ask Jesus in. I thank you for these things, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.